Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, everybody. It's Kim Holderness.
And it's also Penn Holderness. And welcome.
You sounded so happy.
Welcome. Welcome to the 2024 debut of the Holder of season 7 of the Holderness Family Podcast. This is our 7th season doing this. Are you surprised?
I am.
Yeah, right? Like, did we think we were going to do this for 7 years?
No, but it's my favorite. And we took 2 weeks off to, you know, unwind, relax.
Yeah.
And we missed you guys. So I hope that everyone had a nice break, a nice holiday. And I wish I could say I was like super refreshed, but we had sort of an action-packed holiday season with lots of friends and family, which is its own joy. It's certainly brought a lot of joy, but I need to rest a little bit.
I think we need to figure out how to combine fun and activities and spontaneity with sleep.
With sleep. That being said, Happy New Year. And we wanted to talk today about, you know, a different take on resolutions and what we're inviting more of into this year. This all got sparked. I get a little panicky typically the first week or two of January. And I wasn't always this way. I don't know what the difference is. I used to get really pumped and set 1,000 resolutions. I probably have a podcast way back in the back of the past 7 seasons talking about how excited I was for a new year. But the past few years, it's been so strange. If the year before was particularly great for whatever reason, it's almost like I walk into the new year and I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm waiting. I'm like, well, if last year was good for our family, it can't be good this year.
Yeah.
And conversely, if the year before was awful, like those pandemic years, I'm sort of tiptoeing into the new year, wondering what fresh hell our family will have to endure, you know?
And it's interesting because New Year's Day is just a day,
right?
It could be like any other day, but I think what happens maybe with you over the past few years, and I'll tell you a story in a second about how it happened to me this year, is it's Christmas, right? It's all these like end of the year parties. It's this sort of celebration of the end of the year. And everyone's like, woohoo, we did it. It's awesome. And then just that flip over that we don't have to do to ourselves, mm-hmm. but we do. Mm-hmm. We do it every year. And I got to tell you, like I had a panic moment this year on January 1st. I mean, I don't think I told you this entire story, but we were getting in a car to get to like our transport to go home. Mm-hmm. And I, all of a sudden I felt nauseous. I like went in the bathroom and I pooped and then I pooped again. And I thought it was food poisoning.
Yeah.
I really did. Like it had all the signs of food poisoning. And I was like shaking and nervous because I thought I'd gotten food poisoning. And it turned out, I think I had more than I normally had to drink because it was New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. And I had a bunch of caffeine. And just like you, I woke up and I was like, oh, January 1st, man, I think I've been pushing this off a little bit. Like what now? And I had a little bit of a panic attack. And I know that I had one because we were in this like tram to get to our transport. And there was a dog in the tram, and I picked the dog up and I put it on my lap to stop shaking. It wasn't my dog. Mm-hmm. And the dog totally got me through this ride.
Your comfort dog,
Yeah, but Kim, I had one of these moments, and I don't normally have them.
I'm sorry that happened to you. And I think the past few years, January 3rd through 8th, I typically have some sort of freak out to the point where this year on my calendar, and I wrote a blog post about this, I guess we'll put in the show notes, where I actually put it on my calendar, on my paper calendar and on my Google calendar. And it just says, it's fine. It's going to be okay. Yeah. It's fine. And I wonder what that is. I wonder if it's just the daunting, just looking ahead seems so daunting because we're so unsure of what this next year is going to be. I don't know what it is, but I will say what helped me last year, and as we do, we're going to get on the bright side here soon. Last year, my kind of mantra resolution was to get out of my comfort zone more and to look for ways to get out of my comfort zone. And we did it. I mean, we put ourselves, or I put myself in social situations. I joined a pickleball team. And so I put myself in situations that scared me. I went into, you know, if somebody invited me to go somewhere, even if I didn't want to go, I went. And I always, it's like going to the gym. You always are happy you went. There's that special sort of thrill that comes with getting out of your comfort zone. We went kite surfing. Like, we did hard physical things. And it showed me all that I'm capable of. So I'm going to keep doing that. I'm going to look for 1,000 little ways to get out of my comfort zone. But this year, my resolution is, it's not so easy to measure. I want to worry less. I don't even really know what that means. So
I mean, let's take a second. Let's go back. Like, what you're asking, why it is that we feel this way. We're taking all of these celebrations and goals at the end of the year and then flipping them back to zero. Mm-hmm. We're celebrating with probably eating horribly, drinking horribly, sleeping horribly. And then, so it's just like perfect mix that leads to these worries.
Right. And I guess like a resolution to exercise more or drink less, that makes sense because you can measure it. Mm-hmm. I'm also doing, we don't actually drink that much at all. So,
no, but
but on New Year's Eve, we had
more, everything's relative.
Yeah. In New Year's Eve, I had two, you had three drinks. That's a lot for us. So I'm doing a dry January and it's not that hard for me. So we had already really cut back in the last year, but there's a way to measure drinking less. There's a way to measure exercise more. You can, you know, mark it off on a calendar, right? How do you measure worrying less? How do you say, like, how do you put into practice worrying less? My theory is that you add more.
So you worry less by adding more.
Adding more. This is my theory. It's going to be more in 24. I'm going to make a hashtag.
So I'm now super on board because anything that rhymes is catchy and it's going to work. Like if it, yeah.
So
if this was 2025, I think you're screwed.
Yeah, didn't work.
But it's more in 24 so is going to work.
But this is going to be serious work for me. I think you are programmed. You see, like, worry is not, although you do worry and you just described a classic anxiety moment, you are programmed to sort of go with the flow and you don't catastrophize.
I don't know if it is a word, but it should be. It's not a word, but I want you, it's a new word now. I love it.
I make a catastrophe out of most things in my head. But I feel like, well, if I do that and I am ready for the bottom, like if I'm ready for the other shoe to drop, look how I've saved my family. Look how I've helped my family by planning for this disaster, right?
Yeah.
That's the logic in my head. But if I am filling my time with more, then I won't have an opportunity to worry as much.
Let's put an asterisk
next
to that. I think that you just need to make sure you put a governor on the more. Because there is the possibility of too much more being too much.
Yes. So the things, but I'm getting very specific about what I'm learning. What you know more of? So I'm more out of my comfort zone. I already have like a really long solo hike I'm going to take. And it's funny because I've been telling my friends about it. And everybody wants to come with me. And I'm like,
oh, your rock across the sand?
Yes. Yeah. And I'm not, I say, no, that's the whole point, is I'm going by myself and I'll bring a cell phone for safety reasons, but I'm not going to be listening to podcasts. And I think it'll take about 8 hours if I do it right. And I may not be able to do it. I may have to turn around or like have you come pick me up or something like that. So I don't know physically if I can, or emotionally if I can be that bored for that long, but I'm going to do that hard thing. But I would love to approach each day looking for the joy as opposed to for the things that can go wrong. For example, tomorrow I have to bring snacks for PC's basketball team. And he says, just bring a tray of nuggets.
Just
a lot of nuggets. I'm like, I don't know. Like, aren't there there's like two vegetarians. Shouldn't I bring like bananas and bagels? He's like, I don't know, just nuggets. So I ordered the Chick-fil-A nuggets, the tray to pick up. And my normal thinking is, oh, what if Chick-fil-A, for the first time ever, misses up the order? I should order really early because I have to get it there early. Like, I'm like, no, I'm going to focus on the joy of these 13, 14-year-old boys just shoving, you know, nuggets in their mouth. Yep. Like, I'm not going to worry. But isn't that silly? Like, I would worry about, like, oh, I don't know if I trust somebody else to make these and have these on time. So I'm going to find, like, the joy. That's a silly example. But I'm going to try to look for the joy in a day.
Right. So you saying more. I just want to understand this because I think
I have a list of more. Yeah, I have a list.
Like more in 24, more nuggets.
More nugget. No, more joy.
More trust, I think, was what you just explained right there with the nuggets, right? Like you were trusting that person was going to do it.
Yeah, trust I struggle with.
But that's important.
Yeah, I think.
And that's great that you did that.
Yeah, I think the getting out of my comfort zone has led me to trust myself that even if it goes sideways, I trust myself now to get out of it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, trusting people. I don't do that naturally. I don't. I wish in my heart that I did, but I don't trust people to do things the way I would do them, to come out of a place of kindness. But yeah, so more trust. Yeah.
You don't have to do it naturally. I think that's part of what this is. If you did it naturally, you wouldn't be making a list.
Right. So
this is great. It's a good start. Can I hear some more of your more list? More in 24?
Okay.
Hashtag more in 24.
More 24.
Copyright Kim Horne.
Copyright Kim. More reading.
That's on mine.
It is? Yeah. Okay. This one's going to be interesting. More of saying what I want to say. Not in a blank your feelings type of way.
Wait a minute. Why not?
No, I mean, not in a way to be hurtful, but I think that creating some boundaries around what I need is, and kind of claiming space and claiming joy, I'm going to do a better job of that in work and then in my personal life especially.
Do you think that's going to be specifically things that you want, or do you think it's going to be also things that you feel and vulnerabilities and things that you...
I think it's going to be more of things I don't want.
Okay.
I think I don't do the best job of saying things I don't want.
Okay. I think most people, I don't do a great job saying things I don't want. I think most people don't do a good job.
Right. So, I mean, this is just a little inside baseball. I'm so excited. Pen Holderness. He has worked so hard on this book, ADHD is Awesome. It's going to be coming out in the spring. You're going to hear all about it. It's so good, you guys. I'm so proud of him. And we're recording the audiobook soon. And I have such a small role in it, but I'm going to be there for moral support. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. There's so many things that go into it. But I'm so prepared to be protective of you and creating a safe environment for you to record this where you can be vulnerable. And I think that was the best part of our last book experience, is recording the audiobook, because there was a technician on the other side of the glass, but it was really just us. And we got to tell stories and we cried, and it was so different than writing the book, like when you read it out loud. So now that there's all these extra voices in there, I'm so prepared to kick them out of the room if it doesn't work. So, yeah, stuff like that.
I can say that you've always been a badass in that sense. And you've always...
Not really.
No, you have. You just haven't... You haven't always exercised it. And you have to get pushed, I think, to a limit before that person comes out. But it's always in you. Like, I'm your best friend. You share all of your feelings with me.
So I sure do, honey.
Just so you know, I know exactly what you want and I don't know. Want. You share it with me. I feel so lucky that you've shared it with me. I can't wait for you to share it with the rest of the world.
I feel very, I think because I feel safe with you.
Yeah. And like, by the way, rest of the world, everything she wants and doesn't want is totally reasonable. So it's going to be a fun little like exercise.
Yeah. We were in a crowded space in the days following Christmas and It was, I'll just say that it was a very crowded space and there were some, my hair got pulled, like not in a way in which it was like somebody wanted to get my attention to get a picture with me and they pulled my hair.
By accident.
I
think we thought, right?
No, yeah, totally by accident. They meant to grab my shirt because I was walking past to go to the bathroom and my hair got pulled. And I was like, you know what? I went back and I looked at you. I'm like, I want to leave. And you were like, I want to leave too, but we had some guests in town.
Yeah.
And so I was like, how about this? You stay, I leave. And it worked out great. So I'm just gonna do that. And also, and so this is not more writing. I'm going to try to write in some form a journal or a blog post or a super secret book or something like that every day.
Yeah, you're a good writer. And so that's the, everyone wins with that one.
Well, yeah. So, and I'm honestly going to do more. I'm going to let the year tell me what I need more of. But if I add in all of these things, like the reading, the writing, the finding joy, I think that I will hopefully like kick the worry. Hopefully. I don't know. That's my goal.
Yeah. I guess. I think it's going to help. I think it's already helped because for you, just having something to aim for mm-hmm. is helpful. And so a lot of times that January 2nd, January 3rd feeling is that you haven't pointed yourself in the direction that you want to point in because mm-hmm. you do very well when you have a direction to be pointed in.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all very good directions.
I do. I love a rule, especially if I understand why the rule's in place. I love a rule. And I know there's some people who hate boundaries and rules. I feel safe within the boundaries of a rule. So that's why it's so ambiguous, this worry less. Like, I don't know. Tell me the 10 things to do to worry less. I want that somebody to write that blog post for me. So yeah. And also I will say this while I'm on the topic of more, I am trying a dry January, mm-hmm. but
I'm with you too.
I know. I do have a dinner on this. I have two Fridays in a row in which I have girls' dinners, but they don't care. I think they're also doing dry January. Yeah. So it doesn't matter. Anyway,
I'm going to do a dry, I think till like January, I don't know, something. I haven't had anything yet. And I feel like way better in the morning, way better at night.
But I think because after the holidays we were entertaining and we had people. So we'd have a glass of wine.
Got me. It was the friggin' cheese. Just cheese is everywhere.
There's so much cheese.
And it's so good.
It's so good.
So you get a Caesar salad and they're like, do you want Parmesan? Yeah.
What is a Caesar salad without Parmesan? That's not a Caesar salad.
It's not good. It's not as good. And, you know, like every party you go to, there's someone has just carefully chopped up little like bits of dill Havarti and you're like, okay. And you just cram the entire thing
so good.
In your face. Then you mix, and then after that, you're like, well, I guess wine would go well with that. And then
it really is just a remarkable combination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, like I think we all need to admit as a people that we were disgusting in December, and now we're going to be less disgusting for the rest of the year. And it's just going to make everybody happier. We will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer.
Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, okay, so tell me more as part of more of January. It is interesting that you have this desire to do more. And I know that you asked some of our friends like what they want to do more of.
Yes. So I went onto the Instagram. And by the way, I used the notes feature. And you guys
Wait, what?
Yeah, I know. So it's really cool little.
It's not comments? You just.
Well, you go into.
Oh, the notes on your phone.
No. If you go into Instagram and you can. There's notes from Kim and Penn, like on the broadcast channel. You click here and like we write little notes. And then
people read them?
Yeah. And then people respond to them. And so I said, what are you going to do more of in 2024?
Wait, so it's basically the description.
No, but then people reply. So, oh, but you have to follow the broadcast channel. So let me, you guys, it's so there's 10,000 people on the broadcast channel. So.
Oh, that's like way fewer. It's.
Okay. Yeah, but that's okay. But it's like a special little club.
I got it. I needed to learn more about the broadcast channel.
Yeah, but we had so many really sweet people who were obviously being very intentional. And I just scrolling. So somebody put, I'm replacing worry with belief. And I loved that. Like, what if there's some blogger or podcaster at some point who has said, and I want to attribute this if I can remember who said it. What if instead of saying, you know, what could go wrong, replacing that with, what if this all worked out? So replacing worry with belief. Like, what if it all went?
I love this so much. And I'm sure someone's already talked about this, but I'm having this realization for the first time. They're basically the same thing, you guys. Worry and belief are reactions to the same thing, which is what you're not sure of.
Right.
Right? So belief is so much more positive.
Right.
I mean, you still could say, I believe that we are going to drown. But usually when you say believe, it's the
it's
positive.
A faith in a something
you're
positive.
You're talking more about like faith. Or so faith and belief are kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
But
that there's going to be
just a simple change of word. But they're all the same thing.
Right. It is. It's an emotion into. So I loved that so much that I'm replacing worry with belief. And
can you give an example of how you do that with your wording? I think you just did. I think it's instead of I'm worried that, you know, I'm not going to get enough done this year. I'm worried that I'm not going to challenge myself enough. I'm worried that things are going to be too hard. I believe that I can do these things.
Yeah. And I think it's also. So one of the worries is, you know, we're two idiots with microphones here and we run a small business and we were on CNBC yesterday at the time we were recording this. It was yesterday. On
lovely people, by the way.
Yeah, lovely, lovely. On Squawk Box. And it was so funny how many people watch Squawk Box. We got so many text messages.
I guess all of our friends like are way better with
only your dude friends. My girlfriends only had one girlfriend see it, but she's
like kind of in that space.
In that space,
she's in the
finance space. Yeah. And then a lot of people took pictures and shared it on Instagram. So thank you. But one of the anchors like, so that you must do okay with this, right? Like you're making a living at this.
Her exact words were, so I'm assuming that this is profitable, which is like in code. Can you please tell us how much money you make?
And the real answer was like, there have been very lean years. And there have been years that, I mean, there was a year we won the Amazing Race. So like as a small business owner, it is hard not to worry. Especially, you know, it's election year and that gets wonky. There's, you know, the economic, fill in the blank. There's always something. And so it's hard not to worry. So what if I just change it to, I believe we're going to be okay no matter what happens. Because we've been okay at, you know, we've been okay. I believe we're going to be okay no matter what happens. Right?
I believe that. I think that's, I don't know why that's in my nature to believe that, but it's in my nature to believe that.
Okay. Somebody wrote, trying to enjoy the journey, even if I'm on a parallel path. What do you think that means?
Yeah. Like managing expectations, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think this is great for people who do make very specific resolutions or set specific goals or have specific things in mind that they, you know, they envision the way that the world is going to go for them. And it goes not exactly that same way, but at least moving somewhat in the same direction. Mm-hmm. That I believe is what she means by a parallel path. And if you look at it as a journey that you enjoy, instead of following the exact path that you set out to follow, okay, you're going to be better off. And I think that's great advice.
This next one I love too. More outside, more hikes, more walks. I will stop the panic. If you, let me tell you.
There's science behind that. If you read Comfort Crisis.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's science everywhere. But if you are outside and you are walking, man, that's medicine. Mm-hmm. It's so impactful. Somebody, more gratitude. Being kinder and try not to go off the deep end when I feel panic. Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, but you're not alone, right?
Yeah.
You're not alone. I just described panic. Kim openly talks about her panic. Just so you know, you're not alone. We all feel this way.
Playing more pickleball. I like that.
Ken, you are not alone. I would, if I had my way, there's something wrong with my arm right now where I can't go overhead as well as I can go underhand. There's like some pain and I'm using it as an excuse to specifically play pickleball for the last couple of months. Mm-hmm. And it, you guys, it is mental health wise. Can I give you the mental health benefits of pickleball?
Let's hear it.
Okay. It is a very fast game. You mm-hmm. don't have time to think about when you mess up. The culture surrounding it is very supportive. Mm-hmm. People say, nice shot. People say, good job. We have run into a couple of people that are rule sticklers and we're not going to talk about that right now.
Rules. We love a rule, not rule sticklers. Maybe call it a little tight.
Yeah, call it a little tight.
You're calling a little tight over there.
This sport will eventually weed that sort of sentiment out because it's got one of the greatest resets of any sport because the games are really fast. And as soon as it's over, boom, you're on to the next game. And in most situations, you don't play, like see how many games you win versus me. You just play a game, then you switch to another game, then another game, then another game. And the games start over so quickly that you don't have time to wallow in the fact that you just lost.
Oh my gosh. So Penn and I played in a family pickleball tournament. It was all like our kids played with their mm-hmm. cousins and it was all different, like, you know, levels, abilities. And, you know, we experienced some success. We won a few. But there was one game we played, and first of all, they were not family. I love them, so I'm going to give them a hard time. Yeah. But I'm like, excuse me, kind sirs, how are you related?
You could take one look at them and know that they were not family.
You are not related. I am sorry. Are you lovers? No, they're great. But at one point, that our opponent was playing with his hand. It was really cold.
He had one hand in his pocket.
He had one hand in his pocket and was making Penn. I mean, Penn was struggling and Penn is really good. I'm not that good, but Penn was struggling with it. I was like, friend, could you please just pretend you're working hard, please?
To play us.
To me, he's like, I don't know, my hand's just kind of cold. I'm like, oh my, it was really funny. We got our butts kicked.
But to your point,
it was funny.
We were smiling and laughing the entire time. I think it's just the culture of it. And as much as I love tennis, and it's probably tennis might still be my favorite sport if you just go into the depth of how much I care about it, they don't always have that kind of culture where you can just relax and laugh if things aren't going well.
Yeah. Okay. This one's from Sarah. Take more time for hobbies that aren't work-related. I love that.
Yeah, for sure. In fact, I would go as far as to say that if it is work related, it's probably not a hobby.
Yeah, it's not. The financial motivations need to be removed from it. I'm not going to read the username on this one because it said drink more vodka. Hey, you do you, as long as you're doing it in a safe way.
Right. I don't know anything about this person. And one of the beautiful things about resolutions is none of them are wrong because they're yours and they're subjective. And maybe this person has a gluten sensitivity and she found a good gluten-free vodka.
See, I love this one from Jenna. Call friends just because. I love that.
Yeah.
I you know what? I might do that too. Just like more connection.
Yeah.
And calling.
I'm going to tell you, as a man, I did that like 2 times last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy how like both of them texted me afterwards. Like, man, thanks so much for calling me. We don't do that enough.
I have a friend and we just celebrated our 1 year friend's anniversary and I love her so much. So, but she's a caller. And she, the first time she called me, I was like, hey, is everything okay? She's like, yeah, just checking in. And we had a 30-minute conversation. And it was the most refreshing, wonderful. And last night, she's like, hey, just checking on you. Do you have time for a talk? And I was like, and I called her right away. Because she's just so easy.
No agenda.
Just like chit-chatty. It was so great.
Okay. Did you actually celebrate a friend's anniversary with this
person? No, we should have. I texted her.
Because then I need to reach out to her boyfriend because it's my friend's anniversary with him and I like him
a
lot.
And yesterday was his birthday.
Okay, I'm going to call him right after this call.
Yeah. Marina says, more dancing. I love this. I want to dance. Maybe I'll take a dance class.
I would like that too, if I can come watch.
No.
I'm a good dancer.
Here's one from, I'm not going to read the username just in case, more debauchery. Yes. More, right? More is more.
I guarantee these people are older or younger than me because like more debauchery when you get to be 50 is like
staying up till 9:30.
Yeah. Also, it's just like a 12-day hangover.
Yeah, I know. This one says, let go of the stuff I keep holding on to that I don't need. I wonder if that's physical or emotional.
You mean like weight?
No.
Items.
Items.
Oh, yeah, it could be all of it.
All of it. That's a good one. I will say my mother is planning on moving in this next year, and she's going through and sort of...
Downsizing?
Yeah, and so she's kind of clearing things out, and she said yesterday, I'm so mad that I'm doing this for strangers because they're going to try to stage the house and stuff. Yeah. I'm so mad I'm doing this for strangers and I never did it for myself because their house already feels lighter and flows better because they're getting rid of things they never used and won't use. And so like, why would you do that for strangers and not yourself?
That Marie Kondo was onto something. Did she thank her blankets as she
knowing
she, like,
her
talking to them before she threw them away?
She's always very respectful, so probably.
Yeah, I would imagine.
What do you want more of, Holderness?
I mean, I want to read more. My sleep hygiene like went back into binge watching. I think toward the end of the season, so I need to kind of reset that.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a pretty specific goal. It's we can talk about it in a different podcast if you want to, or we can talk.
Let's talk about it now.
You mentioned the book that is coming out. Writing a book and living a book are two very different things. I just want to say that out loud.
You tend to write the book you need.
Yeah.
Right? That's what authors say. You write the book you need.
Yeah. And I want to like, it's also funny. I have to go back and reread it because it took so long and I'll be like, oh yeah.
Well, there's so much research in it.
Yeah.
So you're quoting research from dozens of people.
100%.
So it is, you know,
Nonetheless, I'm obviously very familiar with it, but I guess what I mean is I'll go back through it and say, oh, I did not follow that correctly. I forgot about that. I was feeling shameful about myself and I forgot this about my brain. I made a commitment in this book and I said I would make a commitment to do all of these things, to live with and thrive with ADHD. I don't know if I'm doing that right now. And so I want to take this thing that we wrote, that you helped me write. And I want to make it a part of, you know, even more intense part of who I am, to the point that if somebody asked me anything about that book, I could give them a really good answer. And if someone asked me to sit on a stage and talk for an hour about it, and I could inspire people to live a better life because they now understand what is going on in their brain, I want to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to take a deep dive into what I'm failing on when it comes to this book that I just wrote, which means just going over it and like thinking about everything over and over again. And then also if I can get to that point, like finding a way to help others outside of just reading the book, maybe using our platforms, maybe using videos and podcasts or lectures or something. I just think it's like the one thing I discovered upon writing it is that it's really, really important. Mm-hmm. And it's out there. And there are millions of people who don't understand that they're not broken and there's no need to feel ashamed. Mm-hmm. They're different, and they're not different in a way that's bad. They're different in a way that is wonderful.
Yeah.
So did I answer? I didn't really answer your question.
Well, so what you're in what most authors do is they write the book they need.
Yeah.
And because it, so many parts in which you're, the parts that you're not quoting an expert read almost like a journal. Mm-hmm. And so it oftentimes you go back and you reread your journal. You're like, oh crap, I said I was going to do that and I didn't do that. So you want to abide by all the lessons you've learned, but kind of put them all together and try to live the thriving with ADHD life.
And it doesn't have to be perfect, right?
No, this doesn't exist.
That's a big part of the book, is that being perfect doesn't exist. But I really want to try my best.
Mm-hmm. I think
that's a big resolution to me.
Yeah. And what is that? So as I said, my resolution lacks any specificity. What are the, are there any specifics that you can come up with? Like, what does that look like?
I want to hear a story from someone about something that happened to them that made them feel shame because of their ADHD or because of what happened with their brain. And I want to be able to explain to them through my personal experience, which I think I'll be able to do pretty easily, but also through science and like not necessarily through medicine, but I mean through like understanding what's going on in the brain and through also like psychology, like the people who explain behaviors and emotions, to be able to navigate that person through that and say, I think this is what happened to you. It's so funny because what I'm describing is I'd like to become a psychologist.
I know. I was just going to say, you have to be careful and, not to like toe the line.
No, I don't want to do that. Like I can't do that. I don't have time to go to school. I don't have time to do any of those things. But I just, yeah.
There's a line, right? There's a line between like dispensing medical advice and then, and right. Providing empathy.
Okay. So thanks for asking me that question. Cause I think I just gave a 20-minute answer and we can just delete it all. And I can tell you really what I'm trying to do. I don't want to be a psychologist. I don't want to be a doctor. I don't want to be a scientist. I want to learn what my role is going to be with this book moving forward outside of the book.
Like, so what an advocate.
What can I do to help people once the book is out there?
That's what I
want to do.
You want to become an advocate for people with ADHD.
Yeah, but I want to figure out exactly how.
Yeah. So I think that means, because you have microphones and a platform, you get to use that.
Yeah, I want it to be funny too still, right?
Right, and it will be. And the book is funny, and it's written, it's so well written. But I would say that you have the opportunity to get into rooms and spaces where a lot of people don't have access.
Yeah.
And so you get to use these microphones that are in front of your face and shout from the rooftops, all the things you just said, which are, your brain is different, but it's not broken. It's different in a most wonderful, wild way. And you get to change the narrative on that. And especially, and I love the stuff you talk about with women, because women and girls are historically underdiagnosed.
And minorities
are underdiagnosed and for that reason, overlooked as, you know, space cadets, or they have behavior problems or something.
And shame immediately follows.
Immediately.
When that happens. And it's always, honestly, a lot of times they're underdiagnosed because of social stereotypes, right?
Right.
Like minorities are, this is so sad, but minorities in schools are, oh, bad parenting. Oh, you know, just, you know, bad egg.
Yeah, it's a bad egg. Or
that sort of situation.
Yeah. And women... Yeah, well, this is like, we'll get into all this, but I think there's so many important conversations, but because you're like a middle-aged white man, you get invited to a lot of conversations, and that is the privilege that you need to use to have these conversations to advocate for people who can't. And so I think that's, I'm excited for you. Well, I'm excited to watch.
Yeah, that was such an ADHD way to get there.
No, it wasn't, honey. No, we had never really had the conversation. So you got there. And I'm excited to see you on stages and in places talking about this. And I'm going to carry your little water bottle. And I'm going to be so excited to be your hype man.
I think you're going to be there with me on stage with me.
I don't need to be. I think that I can talk to people about what it's like to partner and parent with this. But, and I think that's important. I don't, I think there, we've already gotten messages from people saying, I struggle with ADHD and I need my husband to read this book with me. So I know that there are couples and parents that are going to not be diagnosed that are going to be reading this book. So I could be that person. But I think that yours is the most important voice. And I'm excited. I'm thrilled for that. Anyway,
thank you.
Wow, this was a wild ride we went on. So more in 24.
It's a t-shirt, babe. It's a hashtag.
It's a t-shirt.
Yep. Never can believe.
Anyway, what are you going to do more of in 24? I want to hear about it. I love reading about people's promises that they make themselves and how they.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Get there. You inspire me, and we love you.